can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see, it's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Tonight, very controversial subjects. We'll cover at least two of them, I believe. Is Satan really God of this world, and how is that to be? And the deity of Jesus Christ. Ooh. Everybody denies it. Others accept it. But few want to study it. How about that? Makes you wonder. Whole answer lies between 2 Chronicles 7:14. And everybody's worried about marches in Ferguson and St. Louis and now in Kiev. Nationalists, all kinds of stuff. War shakeup, economics, etc., etc., etc. They don't have a clue. Everybody's got everybody into all. It's like looking at a 500 station TV program. That's exactly what it is. You know, I remember in the day when we had TVs, your big fat TVs and all, you had, oh, I don't know, what, 7 or 8 channels? Then came a day you didn't have to get up out of your seat and change it. You sit back and hit a little button. Wow, look at that, man. I can change the channel, not even get up. You still had, you know, 10 channels. Not anymore. The TV is skinny. I'm surprised you don't even have to think of the channel it changes on its own. And you got 500 different TV programs to choose from any given hour. For everybody. It's not for entertainment. is to keep you busy, keep you tied up. And it works. Quote, I can't live without my TV. How do you do it? I said, well, I just don't have one. Man, I couldn't live without my TV. I said, really? They look at you like you got three heads. Two anyway. I'm dedicated to broadcast, and we're going to get with it tonight. One more day, if I don't get through to it tonight, we'll do part two tomorrow. I have been talking about, is Jesus God all through this week? It seems to be the big deal, and it is, because that ties in directly with the notion and the deception of alien beings coming to this planet. It's tied in together, because one of them is who we think Jesus is, and will claim to be Jesus. And this goes to the highest level of every government. This is very serious. I don't think the Baptist and the Roman Catholics and all those deeply entrenched in their religion have any idea, man, of a hammer that's going to fall on their head when this announcement is going to be made. It's going to turn everything upside down. They have no idea the tidal wave is going to hit them. None. Roman Catholics will be totally shocked and bewildered, lost, looking for a direction in which to turn to their adoration will be the New Age movement, which will morph even further from Roman Catholicism to the New Age movement, to their horror, Luciferianism. They don't know that yet. It will happen. Just don't know when. It's called the falling away. In the meantime, we just prepare for it. Others learn about it. Hey, you all get ready for it. Conspiracy? Theory? It'll be on their front doorstep. Everybody's front doorstep when this happens. Could it be in this generation? Don't know. All the signs are there. Nobody knows when God's going to allow it. Certainly being set up. Same-sex marriage down in Florida. Federal judge. Same-sex marriage. Florida. Go for it, he says today. One state after another. Boom, boom, boom. When God says that's enough, hammer's going to fall on the United States. Something awful. Like a dish rag and a ringer. Family, let's dedicate the broadcast and get to moving here. We'll talk about the real instigator of this conspiracy. And then we'll talk about the real fixer. And headed toward eternity. Lord, thank you tonight. We have Bible study. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to come together, worship you in your name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray. We ask you, Lord, to lead us tonight. Father, direct me in the right path as I go through today's Bible study. Open up our minds, our hearts, Father, to your word. Father, give me the words to speak. I can speak the truth with discernment and wisdom coming only from you. Lord, we pray for our families. We pray, Lord, for those that need it, patience, that sometimes we have to deal with our parents, with ourselves, with those that we may not like, that may not like us. That, Lord, Father, that all this division going on, that, Lord, you give us patience to work it out and insight. As the evil we see increasing, as the death and suicides and we see mounting up, the anger, division of a violent nature, that, Father, we see being orchestrated. That, Father, we know these dimes are coming. Father, give us opportunity and protection. That, Father, we can help ease the pain. Help bring comfort to those in fear. And knowledge to those that don't have. That, Father, that their fear will be quelled and their worries will be solved. That, Lord, they'll come to know Jesus Christ. We call upon the Holy Spirit, Lord, to touch the hearts of the church. That your church is falling away. But, Father, to pull out of it the watchman. To pull away from the system and teach the truth. We call upon you, Father, to restrain that spirit of suicide, that evil spirit of suicide and of hatred, of lust, to put him aside, Lord, that we'll be able to preach the truth. Lord, we call upon you to guide us from now on. Lord, in this endeavor that we have to spread the word through the media that we have, through those we come in contact with, and Lord, you convict us as we sometimes may stray. Your conviction will put us back on track. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into this temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Is it the Jews causing this problem? Those no Jews, is that causing the problem today? The Jews own the media, they own the world finance. There's a Jew in every closet. No, it's not the Jews. It's the Arabs, the Muslims, Muslims everywhere. Sharia law, going to cut your head off. In every state, in every county, every town, every country. The Muslims are overcrowding. The Muslims are attacking. They're in everywhere. Are they in the closets? No, they're not. So do you have a Jew and a Muslim in every closet? Who's the enemy, really? They can't make up their mind. Is the white supremacist? Is the black militant? Come on now, who is it? It's Illuminati. Oh, Illuminati is it now? Uh-huh. Actually, that's more true than anything. It's the bankers. Well, somebody make up their mind. They can't make up their mind. Every expert says it's one thing or the other. There's an analyst, so they won't lose their job. They have an analyst analysis of how the finances, this, that, and the other, and stock market's up, the gas is down. Gold is up, gold is down. This, that, and the other, all the way around. Blame it on the financial market. Who controls the financial market? The Vatican does, hello. The Federal Reserve and all these other wackos, and World Financial, and I don't know what else. So who in the world's in charge? Illuminati, the Jesuits, Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, the Round Table Group, Bilderberg, Collateral Commission, Club of Rome, Royal Institute of International Affairs, Council of Foreign Relations, Gorbachev Foundation, United Nations. Man, it just goes and goes and goes. CIA did it. Who controls the CIA? KGB did it. The KGB and CIA worked together. Are y'all confused yet? Somebody's got to control all of them. Council 13, Illuminati, all hybrid. Council 33. Committee of the 300, Committee of the 500, Council of the 7. Family, I just go the OTO. Druids, more close to the truth of the ugly than anybody. See, so who is it? Nobody's got the answer, apparently. Depends who you're talking to. You're talking to white boy. Christian identity, it's the Jews that's doing it. Talk to others, it's the Arabs that's doing it. It's the Muslims. Then you're talking to conspiracy theorists and say, well, the bankers. The bankers? Oh, okay. The shoeshine boys. Eric Holder is probably, Eric Holder, they can replace Eric Holder's in a second. Putin's too. Putin, Obama, those guys are nothing. They can take them out in a daytime and replace them just like that. See how silly it gets? Putin's going to do this with... Putin can't squat and go to the bathroom without receiving orders from the Vatican. Neither can Obama. Neither can any of the other leaders. The power lies in England, not Russia, not China. Oh, they all got their separate agendas, but they're put back under step by the Illuminati. Well, okay. Who controls them? I'll tell you exactly who. A group of fallen angels with names that attribute themselves to being ascended masters. They're called the Hierarchy, Great White Brotherhood. They're supernatural. By means of alchemy, they can take on physical form. Called into this realm. Now, people don't like hearing that, because that's something they can't sink their teeth into. And yet, they're going to defeat the Illuminati, but they don't even know who the enemy is. It's the silliest thing I ever heard in my life. And here, patriots want to take back America. Take what back? We never had it in the first place. What do you mean, take it back? I've been on several talk shows as a guest. I have respect for them. They mean well. But they want to, you know, rah, rah, rah. Let's get rid of this, get rid of that, bring back the old America. Man, they have no idea. It's like, what do I say? How do I explain it to them? We got to form a club, form a union, form a social network group and get to Congress. And I'm like, huh? What are you talking about, man? They have no idea. Congress? They're Freemasons, and that's a Malta. They just won't hear you. They won't understand it. It's supernatural that's controlling us. Literally. Only way to fight supernatural is by supernatural means. And I'm not talking about silver bullets, garlic tied around the neck, or a crucifix held up to ward them off. I'm not talking about none of that. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. I'm talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14. Literally, that is the answer. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the only answer, and they do not want to hear that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. There is no other way. Revolution, none of it will work. I mean, it will fail miserably. It always has. Now, that's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. Ha! That's insane. So, where does the real problem lie? That's not a Jeopardy question. The real problem is the ascended masters, and specifically one, by the ascended master's name, Sanat Kumara. You may not know him. Then you may know him of this name, Satan. Or this name, Lucifer, before he was Satan, who controls 66 fallen angels. Specifically 66. The rest are chained awaiting the judgment. 66 watchers came down after flood. Took on physical form, couldn't help themselves. And because they couldn't help themselves, went ahead and helped themselves to daughters of men once again. But this time, more carefully, they created the the ruling class of pharaohs by DNA selection. That's what happened. Again. But no dinosaurs this time. Yes, there was evolution. Evolution's real. But evolution, as guided by alchemy, DNA manipulation by the fallen angels. Evolution, as they like you to think, is not true. But evolution guided by manipulation of DNA is what happened. God destroyed it with a flood. Simple. That's where the Grand Canyon came from. Now, if you want to go ahead and believe that the Grand Canyon was cut by a Colorado River, whew, whoa, you better go back to school, bro. That little river didn't cut out that big canyon, but a great big flood did. Satan is God of this world, but he's not king. This is where it lies. And by ritual, child sacrifice, wars, Satan worship of the highest level, literally invoke Satan in UN meetings. You understand this? They get their orders, the Merovingian bloodline, Illuminati, get their orders directly from the supernatural realm by either channeling, possession, avatar, or actually manifestation. Saint Germain of the 18th century exists even today. He handles the financial realm, economics and finance of the world. Hilarion, a fallen angel, is assigned the North American continent. Family, they have assignments, every continent. That's why there's like seven of them. Family, I don't think people understand the connections. If they did, and they start saying, well, the Jews are doing it, it's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. Let's talk about the real instigator now. Who's already defeated, by the way. And through this world with devils filled, should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness, grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. You know, Christians will use all types of excuses to keep themselves out of modern day's religious, moral, cultural battles. And one of the worst excuses that we try to find or we use is to claim that Satan is the rightful god of this world. Well, it translates into believing this world's demonic. Well, what does the Bible really say about it? Satan is a creature. He's created by God. He was created by God. Satan and Lucifer, the one the same, did not self-create themselves. Did not, okay, you got the point. They were not self-created. God created Lucifer, who had free will. He rebelled, became Satan. The names change when the person changes. You know, like all creatures, he has certain limitations. Even under the old covenant, Satan was granted permission by God before he could even act. In Job 1, 6 to 12, for example. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, and that's the fallen angels family, that's the hierarchy I'm talking about right now. The so-called aliens, the ascended masters, the hierarchy that control the world, are the actual sons of God in Job 1:6. Those are the ones after the flood. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. Now that means they have a dimension of where they can still come before the throne of God right now. They have that ability. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." That's called invocation. We go from the second heaven to the first heaven by manifestations. Few people explain that, really, what it really means. When you open the portals up, that little spiral thing going on in the sky, that's a portal, black hole, opens up. By human sacrifice, wars, hate, generates energy. And by invocation and the symbols and the words spoken by the witches and the witchcraft and the Freemasonry at the highest level, invocation at the United Nations level, Bilderberg level, invoke the Prince of Darkness into this realm. That's what Michael Aquino did in 1975, in the beginning of the third phase of the New Age movement. Remember, this is major, what I'm telling you. I don't think people understand this. What that really implies. Job 1:8. And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" See, that's God. He already knows what Job's going to do. "That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge around him, protecting him, and about his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed his work of his hands. His substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath. He will curse thee to thy face." There's a challenge going on here. I find this very interesting. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in my power, in thy power, only upon himself. Put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And then that's when misfortune beheld on Job. Because there's a challenge. You see, he was betting that. I find that very interesting that God and Satan would have this kind of thing going on. That Job would crumble. But see, God already knew the end from the beginning. And Job 2:1-7. "And there was a day when the sons of God," there they are again, "came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord again. The Lord said to Satan, 'From whence comest thou?' And Satan answered him and said, 'From going to and fro over the earth, from walking up and down in it.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job?'" Again, it goes into it. "There's none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that fears God, eschews evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Now it gets a little different. Satan answered the Lord, "And skin for skin, yea, for all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now, touch his bone and flesh, he will curse thee to thy face." The Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." In other words, go ahead and sift him, but don't kill him. You can't. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet to his crown, and just all kinds of things happened to Job. To test his faith, so we today could read it and what true faith is. Satan's limitations have been multiplied since the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. That in itself stands tall. His limitations were also multiplied after the flood. Because before the flood was nothing but evil. Because, remember, Adam and Eve's failure gave Satan perfect reign. And God took it away with a lot of rain. The Bible shows us if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. This is it. James 4, verse 7. In James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know, the only power that Satan has over a Christian is the power we give him and the power granted to him by God. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 12. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh and the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, to keep you humble. That's what it's for. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, what don't kill you makes you stronger. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So glory in your miscomings and your unfortunate events, sometimes infirmities that you've received, to know that God gave them to you to keep you humble. And to strengthen your courage and strengthen your faith, because he knows you can handle it. But it makes you stronger for the time that you become a saint. So then glory in your infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's important, especially now. 2 Corinthians 12:11. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Those glory days come and pass you by. They're all past. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Family, start to worry if I say, well, this is Apostle Tom here. Yeah. I'm a disciple. I'm a Bishop Gamble. BG. Just call me Bishop Gamble. Oh, my gosh. No, family, we're all watchmen because you choose to be. When you go around saying you're an apostle this and apostle that, my question is going to be, when's the last time you saw Jesus? Uh-huh. Well, Scripture will tell us, then, that Satan's defeated, disarmed, and spoiled. Colossians 2:15, Revelation 12:7, and Mark 3:27. That's Colossians 2:15, Revelation 12, verse 7, and Mark 3, verse 27. He has fallen. Luke 10:18. He was thrown down. Revelation 12, verse 9. He is crushed under the feet of early Christians. and by implication, on the feet of all Christians through the ages. Romans 16, verse 20. He's lost authority over Christians. Colossians 1, verse 13. He's been judged. John 16, 11. He cannot touch a Christian. In other words, he can't possess, but he can demonize. Lead me from temptation. That's temptations. Possession's a whole different ballgame. 1 John 5, verse 18. See, even Satan couldn't touch Job till God let down the hedge of protection. That's important. His works have been destroyed. 1 John 3, verse 8. He has nothing. John 14, verse 30. He must flee when resisted. As I said, James 4, verse 7. He is bound. Mark 3, verse 27. And Luke 11, verse 20. And finally, the gates of hell shall not overpower that advancing church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, verse 18. Satan's alive, but he will not. He's not well on planet Earth. And this is where the kingdoms of the earth follow. Is this defeated foe already? So, why does Paul, what does it mean when he says Satan is God of this world, of this age? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. You know, here some people tell it, this verse teaches that Satan has all the power and authority in this dispensation in this world, the locale of planet Earth. God is the God of heaven and the age to come. Satan is the God of this world and the present evil age. It's kind of like a dualistic yin and yang view of the universe, maybe part of Greek philosophy, but it's not in biblical theology. As I've said many times, Satan is the God of this world, but he's not king. God's the king of the ages. As DeFray says, 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. When Paul writes, he's simply stating that Satan is the chosen god of this, of those who deny Jesus as God's rightful heir to all things. Go to Matthew 22, 1 to 14. And then there's the true Antichrist. 2 John 2, verse 7, and 1 John 2, verse 18. But we know that Jesus is in possession of all authority in both heaven and earth. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Now, in addition to all that, we know that Satan's power has not increased since Job's day. He's still seeking permission, seeking creature. And especially under the new covenant that was brought in by Jesus Christ. Satan is a second-class creature. He's been cast out and judged, awaiting his day. The ruler of this world shall be cast out, John 12:31. And the ruler of this world has been judged already, 16:11. And yet, the leaders of this world follow him. It must be something they don't know, that we know. Otherwise, they wouldn't be following him now, would they? First, you never allow one passage to finalize your understanding of a particular doctrine. You always look for backup. There's always backup in the Bible, King James Bible. Of course, the other Bibles won't have it when they're missing verses. Scripture must be compared with Scripture, must be consistent. And you'll find no contradictions in the King James Bible. You can't have the Bible saying of the one true God, I am the Lord and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God, Isaiah 45:5. And then making Satan a rival God. That ain't going to work. So what does that mean? According to Paul. We can't say that Satan's been judged and cast out. Something that does not happen to gods. And still maintain that he's a god of this world. In a similar way to the Jehovah's God of this world. You see, Paul's making a theological point. For example, Jesus tells the Pharisees that the devil is their father. John 8:44. Doesn't mean there's a biological father. He's a father because they're evil and unbelievers. People confuse that sometimes. We know that Satan is not the biological father then. Rather, he's a spiritual father where they rejected the true father, his son, Jesus Christ. So, physically, that these Hebrew Jews are the children of Abraham in the first covenant, Abrahamic covenant. Not before Abraham, though. Although they were DNA, the first Hebrew Jew started with Abraham. Yeah. To the point God told Abraham to move away. He started the line. Abraham did. He was given the law, even before Moses was. But spiritually and morally, that was the issue. They're children of the devil. The others. And even, and Jesus, even back then, described as Satan and the devil as one who gives birth to a worldview. We know today the world order. A worldview that includes lying and murder. That's why you have the secret societies, to keep secrets. Satan would be their spiritual father. And in the most the same way, he's a god to those who cling to the fading glory of Moses. The ministry of death in 2 Corinthians 3:7. And this is the age over which he is God. An age that has no glory. No glory on the account of the glory that surpasses it. So first of all, never let one passage finalize your understanding of a doctrine. Secondly, the devil's chosen as a god by those who's perishing. That's the elite. He must blind them before they'll follow him. And God allows this by setting them up with a reprobate mind. Because the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. They're blinded. Who is the image of God? Second Corinthians 4:4, I read it a little while ago. And that teaches the unbelievers are fooled into believing that the old covenant, where the veil remains unlifted, is the way of life. They don't seek the truth. Got to close their minds. Satan is a god of the mystery of the death. How does that equate to today? The death education in the schools. That's why. There's your connection. And the god of this age keeps them in bondage. All the distractions is a form of bondage. Everyone's got a, they got an anchor to anchor them down. Only spiritual warfare and not AA is not going to do it. But spiritual warfare will. When a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 16. That's why you run across others that say, oh, I know about the Illuminati. I know about this. I know about that. Oh, yeah, I do too. Well, we share it all. The veil's been removed, and every single time they're born again Christian. I ain't talking about being a Christian of Christianity. I'm talking about being a born again Christian follower of Jesus. And not really the same thing. And you know the liberty from the ministry of death comes where the Spirit of the Lord is? Now the Lord of the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. There is your freedom. Satan's blinded the eyes of the unbelieving so they cannot see the lifted veil. They're still trusting in the shadows of the old covenant. And thirdly, like pretty much idols in nature, in general, the devil is by nature not a god at all. Galatians 4 verse 8. Deuteronomy 32 verse 17. Psalms 96 verse 5. Isaiah 44 verses 9 to 20. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 4 and 1 Corinthians 10 verse 20. You can look those up. This includes the devil in Philippians 3:19. See, here Paul tells us that those who are enemies of the cross of Christ worship their appetite. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. The appetite's not a god, but it can be chosen as a god. It can be a distraction. So the only way, number four, that Satan can pass himself off as a god is to first blind his victims. And that means the victims have been allowed a reprobate mind by God, that they do not seek the truth. How does Jesus describe Satan? He's a liar, father of lies, John 8:44. And because Satan masquerades as a god, doesn't make him a god. So, but you know one thing for sure. Satan wishes by vanity to set himself up as God. And sinners rebelling against the true God, what they do is subject themselves to him who's the author of the rebellion. He's about rebellion, all rebellion of any kind. The unregenerate serve Satan because of their own self-serving needs, as though he were their God. Literally, that's what abortion is all about. That's what wars are all about. It's not about one country fighting another for political, economic, or other means. No, they're all set up through the secret societies orchestrated by Satan. That's why the wars happen. They don't escape from dominion of the one true God. On the contrary, they bring themselves under his righteous judgment. Satan is a creature, not a god, to be served. Romans 1, verse 18, and Romans 1, verse 25. Just as there's one world and one in the world, and every pretended alternative that they make to this is a false, no gospel. There's only one God in this universe. Every other deity when men worship and serve as a false no god. So, when you look at all the evidence, you learn that Satan is the god of an age that's passed away. This age, this world, are temporary and only used in an ethical type sense. The immoral realm of disobedience rather than the all-inclusive scope of creation. Disobedience is witchcraft. Disobedience is Freemasonry. disobedience is unbelief. So when we call Satan God of this age, or the condition of the age, than the actual status of the devil. So when the church makes Satan the god of this age, is falling for one of the devil's schemes, gives them more credit and power than he deserves, actually. He's quite satisfied in having anyone believe he's of his lies, and it doesn't even exist. Which leads us to the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, probably going to go a little over tonight. Y'all not going anywhere, are you? Their denial of Jesus as having deity. Denial of the deity of Christ is in several Christian sects, by the way. Being a Christian, follower of Jesus, has virtually little to do with Christianity. How about that? See, the deity of Christ is a doctrine that Jesus Christ is God. So, heretics will bail out on that one. Some reason that Christ couldn't be God if he was God's son, why others insist he's only a prophet or a good teacher, a good man. Scripture declare otherwise. Clearly, I've talked about this for 2 days now, that God's a Trinity. 1 John 5, verse 7. Second member of that Trinity is the Lord Jesus Christ, called the Word. John 1, 1 says the Word was God. John 1, 14 tells us the Word was made flesh. You can't get much clearer than that. And Jesus Christ is the Word incarnate. And John 1, 1 tells us that the Word was God. So Jesus Christ is God. In human form, he is made lower than the angels. Resurrected and glorified, he is raised above the angels because of that purpose, because of that result. So you say Jesus is honest, right? You call Jesus a self-serving, arrogant prophet? Well, no, he wasn't. He's humble. Told the truth. So then, it begs the question, why did he allow Thomas to address him as my Lord and my God? Oh, no, no, Thomas, I'm not God, but I'm the Son of God, but I'm not God. He didn't do that. He didn't change, he didn't change the wording at all. Jesus allowed Thomas to address him as my Lord and my God in John 20, verse 28. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, he is called the mighty God in the Old Testament, the everlasting Father. And you read in Micah 5, verse 2, is that Jesus is from everlasting. Not from the birth of Mary, but from the birth of, from Mary. But from the birth everlasting. The Old Testament tells his coming, 365 prophecies. Jesus Christ fulfills about three quarters of them. Wait a minute. You say, well, why three quarters? Why not all of them? We're not in the end times yet. That's why. He's still got some to fulfill. Our Lord allowed people to worship him in John 10:38 and Matthew 14, verse 33. And since he is God with us, Matthew 1:23, he also has the power to forgive sins. believe that's Mark 2:5. Uh-huh. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Whoa. How does a man, a prophet, forgive sins? Unless he's God. Come on now. Man, these churches are failing. Bad. People don't believe. I've talked to people recently that don't believe that Jesus is God incarnated. Why am I telling them that? I'm not a theologian. How come these theologians aren't doing their job? They're failing miserably from Billy Graham, all the rest of them. Billy Graham changed in 1993. He denies Jesus. He talks about the Christ, but says, quote, you don't have to know the name of Jesus, unquote. They all started changing around 1993. I find that interesting. Why? Because they're all part of the Jesuit organization. Oh, that's a fact, and Freemasonry. Man, we've been fooled big time. All of TBN, all of 700 Club are Freemasons or Eastern Stars. Every one of them. You know that our Lord allowed people to worship him, right? He forgives sins. You know, the deity of Christ is one of the main fundamentals of the Christian faith, but apparently not Christianity. Come on now, think. If the deity of Christ is one of the main fundamentals of Christian faith, why do the Mormons, why the Jehovah's Witnesses, International Church of Christ, and all these others think that not? They think they just changed the rules? If you're going to talk about Christianity, you've got to talk about all of them. Well, all of them don't have the same beliefs. The Bible is very clear when it emphasizes the fact that Jesus Christ is more than just a great man, a great teacher, a great prophet. He existed long before he came to the earth, and that to be born of a woman, because he's eternal, he's God. And this fundamental doctrine is denied by most cults that I've been mentioning. Some of them worship Mary, worship the Pope, come on now, and beads that wear around your neck. It's probably costume jewelry anyway. Family, come on now. What's going on here? The deity of Christ is real. He's God incarnated in human flesh. That's one of the reasons for classifying debate the same as the sins of murder. God don't mess around. I bet you're scratching your head if you never heard me say that before. That's amazing, isn't it? That just debating is classified by God in the same way that murder? How's that? Romans 1:29 talks about a list of sins. Filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers. That's just one list. How many times they debate out here nowadays? Well, the thing about debating is you give the other side the opportunity to blaspheme God's word, and you sit there and take it. You see, that's one of the reasons about debate. You give the other side the opportunity. Oh, by the way, thought you might find this interesting. Romans 1:29 in the King James Bible, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperings. Well, did you know that about 20-25 Bibles, they removed the word fornication from that list of sins? So every other Bible, 25 of them, Romans 1:29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, they took out the word fornication. Do as I wilt is the whole of the law. But it does make it easier to read, don't it? That's the excuse they use. In Galatians 5:19, now works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Well, in Galatians 5:19, they saw to it they removed the word adultery, but left fornication in the other Bibles. King James got it all. How about that? How about them apples? Boy, they've been messing around. The deity of Jesus Christ is biblical. His disciples acknowledged the deity of Christ. They claimed that Jesus had the right to forgive sins, something only God can do. As it was, as it is, God is offended by sin in many scriptures. In close connection to the last claim I've made, that Jesus is also said to be the one who will judge the living and the dead. How can a prophet do that? 2 Timothy 4:1. Thomas cried out again, I said, my Lord, my God. Jesus didn't correct him. Paul calls Jesus great God and Savior. Titus 2:13. He points out that prior to his incarnation, Jesus existed in the form of God. Philippians 2:5-8. God the Father says regarding Jesus, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Hebrews 1:8. John states that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word, which is Jesus, was God. That is clear as a bell, John 1:1. And a laundry list here of scriptures that teach the deity of Jesus. Revelation 1:17. Revelation 2:8. Revelation 22:13. 1 Corinthians 10:4. 1 Peter 2:6-8. Psalms 18:2. Psalms 95:1. 1 Peter 5:4. Hebrews 13:20. Man, it just makes me thirsty thinking about it. There's plenty more. I covered a lot of them yesterday, last night. Even if one of those is enough to show that Jesus was considered to be God by his followers. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. And you know that there's at least 12 historical facts that about Jesus that even non-Christians and those that are critical scholars will have to admit. That Jesus died by crucifixion. He was buried. His death caused the disciples to despair and lose hope. His tomb was discovered, or claimed to be discovered, to be empty a few days later. Gone. Disciples believed they experienced appearances of the risen Jesus. After that, the disciples were transformed from doubters into bold believers. And no one was going to die for a lie. But they believed after after they denied him. They believed after. Something happened. The message is the center of the preaching in the early church. The message was preached in Jerusalem. And as a result of this preaching, the church was born and it grew. And we ain't talking Roman Catholic Church either. We're not talking about Baptists. We're not talking about Presbyterians. No, none of them. We're talking about where two or more are gathered. Resurrection Day, Sunday, replaced the Sabbath, Saturday, in the primary day of worship. Then, Jesus Christ replaced it all. He fulfilled the fourth commandment. James was a skeptic. He was converted. He also believed that he saw the resurrected Jesus. Paul was an enemy of Christianity. He was converted by somewhat of experience he believed to be an appearance of the risen Jesus. That's how they look at it. They had to admit it. Family, I've not even scratched the surface at all. It's nothing what is available in the Bible. So in conclusion, Christ claimed that he was God, that he was deity, not just a God, but the one true God. His followers, Jews would have been terrified of idolatry, believed him, referred to him as God. Christ proved his claims to deity through miracles, including the world-altering resurrection. And there's no other hypotheses can explain these facts. Yes, the deity of Christ is biblical. You see? And he's coming back. Everything in that Bible is true. The deity of Jesus Christ is solid. Now, when they discredit the Bible, the disclosure, there's no judgments coming. It's non-Emmanuel. You've heard me talk about it a lot of times. Yeshua, etc. Your faith is going to be tested. Especially in the advent of technology, holograms, Christians from Christianity, they will be really, really angry. Certainly not happy with their preachers, pastors, rabbis, or priests. A new age movement will emerge, and you will be tested. This is practice. You'll learn spiritual warfare. Well, you'll apply it. You'll learn how to pray. Then you're going to need it. And he's there for you. Yes, Jesus Christ is God incarnated. And there's no scripture that says otherwise. You can deny it, but your denial will be lost in the plethora and bounty of verses that says otherwise. Jesus Christ is God incarnated human flesh. And he's coming back. When? That's his business. Ours? Spread the gospel. Next question. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight. Bring us together, Father, in this study. Father, to close in our gaps of this gospel, that, Lord, that we will learn, and then that it keeps coming, even after the Bible studies. And, Father, that someday we can apply this in our everyday life to win others over to Jesus. And, Father, we know that's the ultimate aim, as we become knowledgeable in leading others to Jesus Christ. The Father, it's not a matter of defeating the evil in this world. Father, that's you. The defeat's already happened across Calvary. But ours, Lord, is to spread the gospel. and to stop the casualties of this war that's already been won. Lead us for further Bible studies, Father, this week and next week, until that time comes that we practice becomes actual. And Father, these divine appointments that we thank you, the thorn in the flesh that we have, thank you. Father, just give us a covering of your blood of Jesus and patience to deal with our lives. We pray for our friends, our relatives, our those that ask for prayer. Father, we pray for their healing, their protection, and their walk with you. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, I appreciate y'all coming by here on this, I lost track, Thursday, right? Yeah. Tomorrow night, we'll continue on. We'll see where we go tomorrow with Bible study. I feel I need to start talking about this extraterrestrial nonsense because it's now coming up. Alien over here and alien over there. There's no such thing as aliens. They're the sons of God of the Old Testament. Fallen angels. Masquerading as aliens. Isn't it the silliest thing you ever heard? They're called ascended masters. That's not silly. It's serious because it's becoming worldwide. Has its own theology called New Age Movement, which has always been the root system of the Roman Catholic Church. Since when? Since 325 AD. Constantine covered the ancient mystery schools of religion with Christianity and pagan holidays from then on. Now you know the rest of the story. Being a Christian is not about Christianity at all. Being a Christian, born again Christian, is following Jesus. Done. That's it. It's that simple. His word in the King James Bible. And no one can claim otherwise. They fail every time when they try to prove otherwise. Hang in there, family. Time's coming. Have a great night. God bless you all. Look to Jesus. He's won already. Remind you all, by the way, we are played up in highportradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. He plays my broadcast and my Bible studies and randomly because he wants to, and we appreciate it. And I also want to say that he's a good guy. I've talked to him several times. He has sponsors. He's living his dream of having a network in three states, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. He has sponsors. He's acquired. Those sponsors are named on his radio program and his website, highportradio.net. And if you have need of them in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, use his sponsors and give them some good word. My website is watchfulforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchful for Jesus. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. We'll see y'all tomorrow. 4 to 6, I'm going to hit the ground running. I got a special program for you tomorrow. I hope to lay out for you from 4 to 6 very, very specific methods, techniques that the Illuminati has used that you can actually list and see it happen before your eyes. A lot of their techniques, methods, specifics tomorrow night, tomorrow afternoon, 4 to 6 is my goal. So we'll see where we get to. Make it very specific so you can be quantified. Something to chew on, in other words. Y'all have a good night and God bless you. This is The Watchman, signing off. Are open wide. He's alive.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. I am with you every day to the end.